Well, good morning. My name is Todd Beardsley, obviously. I work at Tipping Point, and I'm the lead counter-fraud engineer, which is a very awesome title. And it basically means I spend a lot of time looking at phishing websites, bank fraud websites, spam, quite a bit of that, and that's pretty much my main area of focus. And to that end, I spend a lot of time looking at evil websites. And I do it, of course, safely in VMware, but I really like Firefox. And I was getting really irritated that every time I wanted to know something more about the website I was on, I had to go and control tab over to some other window and ping or traceroute or open up Netcat or do some host of other keystrokes. And I'm incredibly lazy. So because of that, I got involved with this project, Monkey's Paw. So let me back up a little bit and talk about Grease Monkey. How many people here are familiar with Grease Monkey? Heard of it? Seen it? No? Okay. Okay, about 12%, I'd say. Grease Monkey is awesome cool. It is an extension for Firefox, and it allows you to inject your own custom JavaScript into the page that you're looking at. It was described by one of the primary developers, Aaron Bodman, as bookmarklets on crack. Because bookmarklets, if you've worked with those, are fine and wonderful, and they're little JavaScript bookmarks that do typically one function on the page you're looking at, but they're not persistent, and they have some pretty serious limitations just based on size. So he developed Grease Monkey, which is a great and wonderful API for doing lots of JavaScript code on your own. Mainly designed to, like I said, fix broken websites, make things prettier. It's not really a replacement for Adblock, which I'm sure many more of you are familiar with. Adblock is much better at rewriting websites or removing ads. But this Grease Monkey is designed primarily just to mess with the document object model as you see it. And it really kind of fulfills, I think, the promise that Firefox made about 2 years ago of it's your browser, it's your internet, right? So I will see if I can actually do some local things without the network. So let me see if I can do that. So as an example, where am I? So this is an example user script. As you can see, it looks an awful lot like JavaScript. Is it a resolution? Okay, yeah. And so essentially what this guy does is that it detects if an image on a website is foreign to the site that you're looking at. It's pretty standard. And all this guy does is determine that it's foreign based on the source of the image. And if it is foreign, it'll re-render it with an added style of a dotted red outline. And unfortunately, I can't get any foreign images right now because the network's down. So, and it also re-renders the title, so when you mouse over it, it'll tell you what the real source is, what the previous alt text was, and space permitting, it'll give you the width and height. Pretty basic stuff. This is generally the kind of thing that Grease Monkey was designed for. However, as soon as I got involved in it, I decided that this Grease Monkey would be really cool as a security tool, because you can do things like, I'm gonna skip the platypus stuff right now, unfortunately. You can do things like, query, other sites about the site that you're on. No. And let me see if I can pick up some wirelessness. I apologize. Nope. Not yet. All All right, well, we may have a solution forthcoming. All right. Anyway, I'll talk a little bit more about Grease Monkey in the meantime. So this guy is Grease Monkey, and this is all my Grease Monkey scripts. Basically, what Grease Monkey does, I think I've gone over that, but it doesn't interact directly with the page that you're looking at, so it is fairly secure. When you run Grease Monkey script, you're not injecting like script tags into the page that you're viewing at the moment, but you're in fact injecting it into the DOM that's in memory. And it all, incidentally, does this all in its own Grease Monkey sandbox. And so the upshot of that is that foreign web pages can't redefine methods and objects to screw with you and your Grease Monkeyness. Which is handy. And this was not always the case, unfortunately. Back at about three versions ago, it was possible for evil websites to commandeer Grease Monkey, which is kind of a bummer because Grease Monkey also exposes some functionality that normal JavaScript in Firefox does not allow you to do, namely, and probably most significantly, the API GM XML HTTP request, similar to the regular old XML HTTP request, except that unlike Firefox, Grease Monkey can go out to foreign domains and incorporate data from those foreign domains into the page you're looking at. This obviously is terrible security for normal cases, but because you're running in your special sandbox, it's generally okay. There's still remaining a slight problem with the security model in that you can still detect Grease Monkey remotely. Like if I go to a user script here, it draws, that's kind of hard to read. It draws this little pop down in your window. It's actually pop down from the Chrome. And so it does make your total window size slightly smaller. So websites can evaluate your total window size before and after by trying to load a Grease Monkey script for you and then detect that you're using Grease Monkey and then, of course, present different data to foil your forensic efforts. So let me bop through just the feature set here. I don't think I'm going to be able to demo anything, but that's unfortunate. In your book, the slides are correct where Grease Monkey lives, or where Monkey's Paw lives, and where Grease Monkey lives. So you can download it at your leisure and mess around with it yourself. And that's all live right now. So let's go over some of the feature sets. So with Monkey's Paw, I do end up drawing a console, and I can actually demo that somewhat. Come on, Firefox. These won't load very well. Well, this one will load very well. Let's get a second. This one should be okay. There's my phishing website. Grease Monkey. Grease Monkey can also act locally too. I'll go ahead and load that. And so now in my page, and let's pretend this is out on the internet, I have this console down here. And I have a bunch of options now what I can do with this guy. I can do an IP query. What this guy does is he goes out to a webified name resolver. In this case, it's at fifi.org. They're pretty quick and reliable. So I will look up this domain name, which obviously won't work in this case because A, I can't get to fifi, and B, there's no domain for a file. It'll look at that, and then I also look up some geolocation information from the free geolocator. What is it called? hostip.info. And it's a fairly accurate, it's very accurate for countries and reasonably accurate for cities. So you can be looking at your evil eBay site and say, aha, you guys are in Hong Kong and there's, so I can expect at least 2 days for you guys to shut down. Incidentally, these pop-up boxes are draggable and all that fun stuff there. So I can do other things like a DNS lookup. This pretty much hooks into Netcraft's toolbar data source. They have a whole web API open for that. And so the big bonus for there is that you get to use their data and their lookups without submitting the Netcraft tracking information that comes with your toolbar, which is nice for privacy dorks. And server info, and again, imagine this is all actually happening. Server info gives a syntax highlighted reading of all the HTTP response headers from the page you're looking at. And it's highlighted specifically for things that I'm interested in, mainly things like, you know, the version, obviously. I want to look at, you know, any installed modules. These are going to be highlighted. Things like, you know, PHP and whatever. I'm going to be looking at, I dump them all, but it's all colored fairly differently. And there's some funny stuff in there. And then finally, I have a handy report box, and this guy comes up, whoa, hey, am I able to talk to the internet now? Dude. That's probably cached, but let's shut. No dice. But what the, oh, hello. Alrighty, awesome. Cool, here we go. Now we've got all kind of mad action. Cool. Let's move this dude out of the way. We'll look at PayPal. Hooray. Oh my god, I can't even tell you how happy I am that this finally came alive. Alright, so this is my fake PayPal phishing site. I have basically everything on. You can see my image highlighter is going on there. Here's the IP query. And so, and these are all, by the way, bound to keystrokes, so you don't ever have to actually use the mouse, which is nice. So again, one at a time here. We're cool. I have it. Thank you. Cool. So, like I said, the IP query goes out, does geolocation, which is handy. This happens to be correct. This is my server out in Pittsburgh. And incidentally, I can open up a tab on DNS Stuff's blacklist testing. Not so great for websites by themselves, but for phishing sites, which also double often as email relays, I can very quickly look up. See if this guy is evil. Since it's my server, I hope not, and it's not. Hooray. So that's nice, and that's open in another pile. Another great feature of GreaseMonkey is that you can record your own custom messages in the JavaScript console. So this is handy for leaving yourself an audit trail that's easy to copy and paste. So in this example, what am I doing here? Oh, okay, that's the form inspector thinger. So yeah, we can see here that the server info for this page is recorded there in the console, and it's also over here. And so see, I have my server last modified. I can look at other sites too, of course, and it's intensely useful for Slashdot, so I can read the Fry and Bender quotes there. Maybe not. Oh man, they changed their dumb on me. All right. So, that guy. We have the DNS lookup. We can see that I'm, you know, subbing off a pair. I can go out to Netcraft's toolbar proper and get the complete information. Again, all very quickie-like. cool. So, like I said, this was developed mainly to save myself window space and clicks. I can, of course, report myself to Castle Cops if I felt like it. This guy used to, Castle Cops up until about 8 weeks ago was allowing people to just anonymously report phishing websites without any sort of CAPTCHA test. This is great for me because at one click, you're done. That changed. Reportedly, they came under attack, and so they've instituted this CAPTCHA, so I have to replicate that there. And you can see in the source that, maybe not, there we go. That all this guy does is that he just recreates a form, the same form that they give you, pulling the CAPTCHA test over, allowing you to put it in. I'm not going to report myself, though, because this guy's a bit angry at me. So we'll report that evilevilexample.com. There we go. So as you can see, that's a lot handier. For then opening up new tabs and reporting over to Castle Cops. This. This guy. And another, you know, I have to get rid of some of this stuff. It's kind of cluttery when it's all on. There we go. So this in particular is a Citibank phishing site. As you can see, my console gets drawn all over the place because it's actually using frames. So in order to avoid that ugliness and to actually see what pages you're really looking at and really hitting, we can turn on a frame dissector, which opens up all the frames in their own tabs automatically. Which can be handy, especially if you're looking at some phishing or malware site that's pulling its data somewhere else over the internet and presenting them locally. Cool. Okay, well that covers pretty much all of my local functionality. Again, I apologize for my broken flow there. I want to see if I skipped over anything in my muddling about. Oh, yeah. Let me get back to a little bit on... Turn this guy off. I'm going to be out of time shortly. But one thing I like is... that in order to use GreaseMonkey, as you've seen, there's actually quite a bit of JavaScript involved. And it was written for web developers, by web developers who just get angry at other people's layouts that they don't like. However, there's now a Platypus toolbar, which adds in a nice point-and-click interface to many of the site design changes that you might want to do with GreaseMonkey. So, for example... If I want to cut out certain elements like that one, and that one, and that one, and that one, and that one. And let's get it over to, there we go, let's get rid of all that crap. All their ads, I don't care about any of that, I don't care about that. All right, so I've removed a bunch of elements all without JavaScript. All I have to do now is hit the save. It generates GreaseMonkey script for me on the fly, which is handy. I can install it. And I can go over here. Let's just make sure it's actually installed. It is. Hooray. Oops. We can go over there, look at it. Oh, thank you. And we can see it's all well-formed JavaScript, a bunch of the stuff in there. Cool. And then we hop back to Fark, and this will be consistent across page reloads. It'll take a second because GreaseMonkey acts only after the entire web page has been loaded first. So it's not very good for isolating yourself from scripts, except in one case. When you instruct Firefox, don't run JavaScript, this does not apply to GreaseMonkey. So you can force other pages to be neutered from JavaScript, but your local GreaseMonkey will still render okay, which I think is interesting, and I'd love to pursue some more work in that, where I think that you can use GreaseMonkey as almost like a script prophylactic for yourself, where you can selectively run scripts based on some criteria that you dream up, usually through some kind of regular expression, see if there's anything funny in there, like variables named shellcode and variables named red address. So, okay, well, I think that's it for me on time. And I thank you all for your patience. Sorry it didn't work out in the top. But again, I'm looking specifically for people who are interested in this kind of work. Feel free to email me. It's on the slides in your book, and it's on my website, which is Plan B. Oops. And bsecurity.net, which is me. So, cool. Thanks very much.